Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Andre, again, thank you so much for playing for us this morning. It means so much to me, and I know it means I can't talk anymore. You know what I'm going through. There's an old proverb that says, like father, like son. Fathers and sons resemble each other, and some tend to do what their fathers did before them. Whenever I hear someone say, well, he's a chip off the old block, it's not always a compliment. Have you noticed that? Women will sometimes say to their husbands or to their sons, you're just like your father. And it's usually followed up with, you're just as stubborn and mule-headed as he is. If it is used in a complimentary way, consider yourself blessed. In my younger days, when I was younger, when someone said, you're just like your dad, I had a little bit of trouble with that. To be sure, my dad had a lot of great virtues. He was as honest as Abe Lincoln. He was as God-fearing as Moses. He was as faithful and loyal a friend and sibling as you could ever want. But I didn't really appreciate those qualities when I was growing up. What I was focused on was a strict father who ruled with an iron fist and used a belt for corporal punishment, very sparingly, I might add, and I usually deserved it. Does anybody know what corporal punishment is today? Some of you do. But as I grew older, I actually saw and desired some of those great qualities and often felt that I hadn't lived up to the stature of my dad's greatness. As this another Father's Day has arrived, I'm filled with a lot of gratitude for my father, and I'm sure many of you are too also. But you know, I believe we all have an inner longing for our unseen Heavenly Father. As a Christian, from my baptism about 63 years ago, God has never been absent in my life, and He has never been absent from yours. He was and is and always will be there for us and in ways that we may never understand. The problem we have is God's invisible nature. That wasn't always a problem. Let me explain. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden had a wonderful relationship with God the Father. They were acutely aware of God's presence in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I can only imagine, and even that's hard, what the sound of the Lord walking in the garden sounded like. But He was there, and they knew it. But when Adam and Eve fell into sin that day, God's presence became more and more distant to humankind by their choice. The more sin took its seat in human history, the more God seemed distant, until now many people even wonder, does God exist? But God was always, even through the Old Testament times, trying to find ways for people to see Him. Theologians will often talk about theophanies. Those are God appearances in different forms. For example, you remember how God had protected Israel when they left Egypt. God came to them and protected them with a pillar of cloud and fire. Remember also the tabernacle was God's dwelling place for Israel. But none of these was completely satisfying to us. To say the least, God's presence often evoked fear and trembling. But finally, at just the right time, St. Paul tells us, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, saying, Abba, Father, Daddy. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. To use John's words in his gospel, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Because God is a spirit and invisible, we cannot know our Heavenly Father as Jesus did. So for us, the proverb has been flipped on its head. Instead of like Father, like Son, for us it's like Son, like Father. If we want to know our Heavenly Father, we must look at his Son, Jesus. As children, we might have a problem seeing the totality of our Father's nature. Out of guilt, we may see God as I saw my dad, strict, powerful, and at times full of wrath. But that was not the full picture of God, nor was it the whole picture of my dad. Jesus, who knew the Father intimately, told us, God so loved the world. For many people, those are enlightening words. Sometimes it takes a child a long time to figure out that when our fathers chastise us or punish us, they're doing it for our own good. They don't want us to grow up to be self-centered with a my world is the only world mindset. They want us to learn how to live in harmony with others and respect our brothers and sisters living on this planet with us. They want to protect us from the dangers that we can't even see, that often want to hold us captive. They do this because they love us, as does our Heavenly Father. Because of our sinful nature, it takes some people a lifetime to figure out what God is doing and what his intentions are. But when we look to Jesus, it becomes clear. St. Paul says that Jesus is the perfect image of the Heavenly Father. The perfect image of the Heavenly Father. Since we cannot see God, God took on the form of human flesh and tabernacled among us. In the form of a man, he showed us the sight of God we had a hard time seeing because of our guilt. But in Jesus, God's wrath was completely overshadowed by his great compassion for us. His chastisement had the overarching goal of protecting his children. And here's one thing we often miss. God is willing to absorb the harm we incur upon ourselves and deserve because of our sin, so that his justice is preserved and yet our punishment is averted. Did you catch that? God takes on the harm that we have called upon ourselves and deserve in order that his justice may be held firm and yet our punishment is averted. That's what happened on the cross. Jesus took the righteous judgment we deserved. He bore our sin on the cross, and he died our death. You want to know the Father's heart? Look to Jesus. Like Son, like Father. Everything Jesus did for us in his life, his suffering, and his death, he did it to glorify the Father and to bring salvation to the world. Jesus taught us that the Father is still powerful. Jesus took control of the demon-possessed man and threw out the demons, as we saw in the gospel reading. And he displayed that power not just for the sake of exercising power, like sometimes we might accuse our dads, but to rescue the man, to cleanse him, and to make him whole. And that's what he does through the cross for you and me. Let me point out one more thing about the Father's love demonstrated in the life of Jesus. To what end did God bring about this great salvation? And the answer, quite simply, is he made us sons again. In Galatians chapter 4, we read, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. An heir through God. And now we, who cut ourselves off from God, have through his Son been restored as children of God and become brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ and heirs of everything that belongs to God the Father. We cannot even comprehend that. Even eternal life. No earthly inheritance will grant you that. That's the gift that Jesus brought us from God's throne. That's how much your Heavenly Father loves you and me. One day we will see the magnitude of our redemption and this great inheritance he has promised to us. Jesus has given us the sneak preview of the inheritance and a guarantee by the cross. And he has sent the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in our hearts. Because of Jesus, we know God the Father is indeed with us. We don't hear the sound of him walking in the garden as did Adam and Eve. No. Now we have the Spirit of God living in us. And we know this because of the fruit of the Spirit he gives us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is kind of a little tangential thing, but one of the things I saw in Andre as he performed was how much love he carried to the people in the audience. He would constantly refer to, you know, any East St. Louis people here. And of course, the place erupted, you know, and you could tell there was just this reciprocity of love, a mutual love for each other. And that's the fruit of the Spirit living in us. That's how we know that God is abiding with us today. But because we are still stifled by sin, we wonder, okay, what's the catch? What's God want for such a great salvation and such a great promise of inheritance? Well, look at the man in our gospel lesson after he was rescued from the demonic and made whole. No surprise he wanted to hang out with Jesus. Who wouldn't? He was rescued from sin, death, and hell, and snatched out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into this loving family of God. Of course, he wanted to hang out with his new family. Maybe in the back of his mind, though, as sometimes happens to us, he wondered if he was still a little susceptible to the demonic powers and fearful that the demons might return. But God the Father, through Jesus, assured him his rescue was permanent. And he believed it. And that's what God wants from us more than anything else. Simple faith and childlike trust in him. How do I know that? It's so simple. Look at the end of the lesson. Jesus said to him, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." Now, you're not going to feel real comfortable doing that if you're still a little nervous about your security in Christ. But remember what Jesus taught in John chapter 10, when he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Apparently, he believed that his salvation was absolutely secure in Christ. And he gave Jesus the response he was looking for. Because just in the next verse we read, "And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him." Today is Father's Day. Today is a day to recognize our earthly fathers and, if possible, to tell them how much we love them. But every day is an opportunity to celebrate your Heavenly Father's love for you, shown through the image of His Son. Like Son, like Father. So let us respond to God by returning to our homes and declaring what God has done for us. That's what God wants more than anything. Happy Father's Day. Amen.